This week we read the Sedra of Toldos, which discusses in great part Esav and Yaakov. So I want to start today at Perek Chaf Hei, Pasuk Chaf Zayin. The Torah tells us a lot of details that are very familiar to us, but the importance of these details is something that we have to probe. Why exactly is it said? So, Esav and Yaakov were born by Yigdalu Hane'arim. The children grow up by He Esav Ish Yodea Tzayid Ish Sodeh. And Esav became a man who knows hunting. Ish Sodeh, a man of the field. Yaakov Ish Tom Yosef Arim. And Yaakov was a perfect person. Yosef Arim, a dweller of tents. The question is, what's the difference really? What's the difference that Esav was the Ish Yodea Tzayid and that Yaakov was Ish Tom Yosef Arim? And certainly in terms of their moral caliber, you could have a person who's a fieldsman who's very honest and a Yosef Arim who's a conniving schemer. So it makes no moral judgment on the two of them. How does their profession or their avocation really affect anything? And you know, it's the progression. This is the first pasuk in which the Torah relates to them as individuals after they're born. The previous pasuk, the name, Esav is born, like Rishmo Esav, then Yaakov emerges, like Rishmo Yaakov, he's named Yaakov, and the Torah tells us Yitzchak was 60 years old at the time. And then suddenly, by Gru Hanarim, they already reign. The early years of their lives are glossed over. And Esav is Ish Yodea Tzayid Ish Sodeh. So what exactly is happening? Then this pasuk is followed by a pasuk of Ahava. Vayahav Yitzchak Es Esav Tzayid Besiv. Yitzchak loves Esav Tzayid Besiv because literally gained is in his mouth. He's a hunter with his mouth also. It's called Hevetes Yaakov. But the implication is that there's something about their chosen profession that lead each parent to relate to them differently. But why should that be? Why should it be a reflection on character? And then all of a sudden, Vayosad Yaakov Nazir. Yaakov is preparing this dish of lentils for Esav. And then he comes from the field, Zehuayes, and he's very tired, very fatigued. So it seems a lot is left out. And therefore the Torah is highlighting certain aspects of the personality that are crucial for us to know as the story continues, as well as to make, as the Torah does, a point, a lesson for all of us. But what exactly is the point that the Torah is making? That will be the subject today. So Yaakov is preparing this dish. Esav comes. Vayomer Esav al Yaakov. He says to Yaakov, Ha'iteni no min ha'adom adom hazeh, ki ayef anochi. Pour into me from this red, red material, this soup, because I'm very tired. Al kenkar eshmo adom. That's why he's called Edom. You know, why should that be, why should he be named after a soup that he likes? It's a different issue. Vayomer Yaakov. Yaakov says to him, chooses this opportunity to say to him, Michoch hayom es bechoras chori. Sell me today the bechorah. Vayomer Esav. Hinei anochi alech lamus. Zalomer zeli bechorah. Esav says, behold, I'm going to die. So why do I need the bechorah? It seems a very exaggerated response. Both the person coming home hungry at the end of the workday, as well as to the question of Yaakov, Nifroch Hayom Es Bechoras Choli. Esav is near death. The person near death, he's going to ask for soup. That's what he wants. Soup, lentil soup. And beyond that, his response seems extreme for the context. Esav is now with Yaakov 15 years old. Rashi says it was the day of Avram's death, that Yaakov was preparing the traditional mourner's meal of lentils. If Asa is 15, if they're both 15, the twins, they've died 147. They have a good 132 years ahead of them. So what does it mean? I'm going to die. Again, they're never going to die. But that a young person, a 15-year-old, should think in those terms, he's going to die, what do I need this for? I'll sell it to soup. Something seems off, more than the obvious. Something wrong? Oh. Right side. Okay. Five. Next. So Esau sells it. And the last pasuk in this parasha, the Yaakov Nasan LeEsav Lechem Unizid Adoshim, Yaakov then gives Esav a bread and a soup of lentils. Vayochal Vayesh, he eats, he drinks. Vayokom Vayelach, he gets up and he goes. Vayivez Esav Esav B'chavra, and Esav scorns, mocks the B'chavra. So some of this pasuk is relevant to the story, some of it is not. Actually, if you look at the pasuk, not much of it is really that informative or crucial from our perspective. After Esau sells the Bechorah to Yaakov, so really the story is finished. That story picks up again a few fucking later, when Esau complains that he was swindled. But right now, Yaakov gives his brother bread and more soup. What's the difference? Vayochal vayesh. He eats and he drinks. So what? Vayokom vayela. He gets up and he goes. He's going to get up and go sometime. Vayivez Esav Esav B'chora. He mocks the B'chora. He did that already when he said, Lamazeli B'chora. So what exactly is this pasuk, which is summarizing the entire transaction, what is the pasuk adding to our knowledge of Yaakov and Esav? If we go back to the first question that was raised, of Vayigdulu Hanarim, and Esav was Isha De'atzai Yishtadeh, and Yaakov was Ishtam Yosef Arim. So if we have to look at the two of them, who would we say is the more accomplished of the two? Surface? Esav. Esav seems to have a career plan. He has talents. He uses those talents in a way in which he achieves something in the world. He comes a top hunter. And as Chazal say, he was the great hunter of his time. A hunter is not just a hunter of animals, he became a very powerful chieftain, a leader. Asa was a bucky in what he did. He was very proficient, very powerful, and he attracted followers. Asa, at least on the surface, is making a significant contribution to society. Think of the ancient world. Who is the, actually, in the modern world too. Who was the prize individual? Provider. Asa was a provider. And not just for his family. Asa was a provider for all his followers. That is what the skill of a hunter achieved in the ancient world. And what about Yaakov? What did Yaakov have to contribute to the world? Doesn't seem like much. Yaakov Ishtom Yosef Orlin. What does a person achieve sitting in the Ohel? Not much in modern currency. So, if we wanted to be harsh, of course we don't. But in today's lingo, we would say Yaakov seems to some evil Lufman. He's sitting around, not doing anything. He's learning Torah. But it's a nice act that perfects the individual, but he's living with his parents. He's learning Torah, but in terms of the rest of society, he doesn't seem that active. Yaakov, in fact, seems a bit of a bottler. Esav is very impressive credentials. Yitzchak, Vayehav Yitzchak es Esav, Kisaybasiv. Yitzchak sees Esav as a person of accomplishment. See, Yitzchak, Heves is Yaakov. Rifk is drawn to Yaakov, maybe because of Yaakov's more serene, cerebral nature. But we see the divisions that exist. It's not impossible that by today's standards, we look at Esav as a celebrity. And Yaakov? I can't do anything else. You're sitting and learning. That's how we look at it superficially. But the Chachamim, of course, understood it differently. And what the Torah is telling us here is setting up two typologies of individuals, both of whom exist until today. One is the great majority of the world, and one is the minority. Both of these typologies, I would suggest, we partake of on occasion as well. And therefore, they both have something to teach us. One in the negative, and one in the positive. One is something to avoid, and one in the virtue to pursue. Rabbi Avigdor Nevensohl, the Rav of the Old City, defined the difference between the two in an essay that he wrote, and on the Beis Medrash, called the Ish Harega versus the Ish HaNetzach. The person of the moment versus the person of eternity. Notice, Yosef is called Ish Yodei Atzayed Ish Kodeh. I say Yosef because Chazal say that Yosef bore many of the characteristics of Esav as well. And that's why he was distanced by his brothers. But that's another time. But here he says, Ish Yodei Atzayed Ish Kodeh. So the Targum Onkelos interprets these characteristics as follows. V'havo Esav Dvar Nachshirchon. Dvar Nachshirchon. Whereas Yaakov was Dvar Shlim. Dvar Shlim, it is what it sounds like. Ish Shalem, Tam in Shalem. Whole, perfect. What's Dvar Nachshirchon? There are many school quotes of Tosfos in Baba Kama, the study bet on the day, where Tosfos defines Nachshirchon with one word, Batlonim. A Batlon, a person who does nothing, who accomplishes nothing. And Rabbeinu Tam explains, Nochu Batel, a person who's resting idly. He's not accomplishing, he's not productive, he's not doing anything that society needs. So how is that possible? The paradox is, the Unkelus translates or explains Esau's and Yaakov's personalities exactly the opposite of what the simple pshat in the pasuk would teach us. The simple pshat would imply that Esau was the active one. He was the productive one. And Yaakov was the baklin. No? Unkelus says, Esau is the gvar nachshirchon. He's the baklin. He's not doing anything really. And Yaakov is the Gvar Shalim. Yaakov is the perfected person. How is that so? The answer is that productivity is not measured from moment to moment. Productivity is measured over a lifetime. From the broad view of eternity, certainly from the perspective of the Torah, from our perspective, looking back, Esau is always busy. He's running, he's jumping, he's fighting, he's hunting. Esav is a beehive of activity, but he's really contributing nothing. He's busy, but he's not productive. Esav lives in the moment. Yaakov is the exact, that's the Ish HaRega, the one who lives for the moment. Yaakov is the Ish HaNetzach. The Ish HaNetzach builds for generations. Ishtom Yosef Olim. You wonder, is Ishtom Yosef Olim? What exactly does a Yosef Olin do every day? Rashi says, is the yeshiva of Shem Ve'ezer. What is a person who's sitting and learning actually doing every day, physically doing every day? They're growing in ideas. They're growing in Kirov Hashem. They're growing in Dreikus Shechina. They're perfecting themselves in such a way that over the years, yeshiva develops of Esav and of Yaakov. Yaakov is a family. Yaakov is a tzaddik. Yaakov is the b'chir sheba'avos, the choicest of our ancestors, chosen by God. He has 12 tribes, the Am Hashem. Yaakov is the one who, over the span of history, is the achiever. He's the one who's accomplished. He's the one who does something that makes a difference to generations. What Esav does fades away over time. And this we see from the Pesukim, and especially from the description of their encounter. The Yosef Yaakov Nazid, Vayavoy Sovin Asadev Huayez. Yaakov prepared his mental suit. Asa comes back from the field and he's tired. Why is he tired? Because Asa gives it his all. Asa expends every ounce of energy and he sows the field. So when he comes home at the end of the day, he literally has nothing left. In sports, there's a metaphor that an athlete leaves what he has on the field. That's it. All his strength, all his vigor, everything is left on the field. Literally, they say so. But as though a sudden asodet, well, yeah, he left it all on the field. He brought nothing home. Completely tired, exhausted, fatigued, there's nothing left. Vayomer Esau Yaakov, when he says to Yaakov, Halicheinino min ha'adom adom hazeh, like a brute, pour it into me. Not give me. Halicheinino literally means to pour the soup down my mouth. We'll see in a moment the measures that Esau says, as if I'm a camel, just pour it into me. I don't even have the strength to eat it myself. Al-Tenkar Esmo Adom, and that became his name. Redness. Redness represents impetuosity, impulsiveness, activity, vibrancy. But of course, if it's purposeless, it achieves nothing over the long haul. So Yaakov sees the contrast, and Yaakov says, yeah, they all know the contrast, and Yaakov says, Mifrach Hayom is Bechorah Chalit. Show me today the Bechorah. Today? Why? The Bechorah was of no value then. When did the value of the Chora arise? In the future. That's Isha Netzach. Isha Netzach, the person of eternity, but to him the Chora means something. To the Isha Rega, the advances of the Chora are new. A Yomer Esav, who may on Elfi Halech Lamut. Esav says, behold, I'm going to die. I'm going to die! A person is going to die. He feels himself, he's going to die, lives for the moment. The Ish HaNetzach is not afraid of death. The Ish HaRega is very afraid of death, because that's the last Rega. To Esav, that Rega meant everything, despite the fact that he was only 15 years old. To him, he saw life as fleeting, and therefore he had to grab everything good at the moment. So the Lama Zali Bechora, what value does the Bechora have for me? Why do I need it? The Bechora relates to a completely different world. As Rashi says, Shelote ko Esa voda Bechora, he shave it lazy, he told us so. One shot is, what do you do to the Bechora? Eventually the Bechora will be taken away from the one tribe and given to shave it lazy. But as it is, when will shave it lazy? When will Klal Yisrael be Zocha to the Bechora? Hundreds of years ahead. Hundreds of years in Esau's terminology is meaningless. He doesn't relate to it at all. So Lomo Zeli Bechorah. The only time he complained about the Bechorah was when? To Yitzchak, to the Brachos. Why? Because then he saw some immediate tangible benefits to the Bechorah. Material prosperity. The Temochol Kimitala Samayim, Kimishimane Horeb. There's something tangible, something substantive that can come out of the Bechora. Then he has an interest in it. But otherwise, Lama Zali Bechora, what does he need it for? Further Rashi says, Esav said to Yaakov, Matibo Salavarazov, what's the nature of this work? So Yaakov said, well, Kama Azharos the Onsin Umisos Sruyimbo. This is a field of work, the Bechorah, I mean the Kahuna, in which there are many halachos, there are many lavin, prohibitions. There are even, in fact, the constant possibility of capital crime being committed if you do the wrong thing, right? The Kohen who distorts the avoda in one way or another, his Kamein, offers a karbon, his Chayav Misa. So therefore, a Kohen, in this case the heir to the Bechorah, is always a person who is on the brink of death. Kosa Sheshaninu, Elohim Shebemiso, Shishu Yayin, Shwe Rosh. The death penalty is levied against the Kohen for certain infractions. So then Esau says, Ani Halech Lamut Bal Yodo. This is something that can kill me. In Kain, Machos Machetetri, but what is this for? Why do I need the Bechorah is it just going to end my life of the Rega? If Rashi really understands Esav's personality through two ways. One, that he can't relate to the world of the Bechorah, which is centuries away from coming into effect. He's nothing to him. And the very nature of the activity is such, in which his life could end if he does something wrong. So Lomas Libachorah, he may not feel life amur. It's not an obsession with death as much as it is an obsession with the Rega. And death is the cessation of all the regaim. But therefore, Esav, who's the man of the moment, does not relate at all to anything but the pleasures of the moment. And so he's easily able to exchange something of infinite value, but spiritual, abstract value, for something of tangible value, which in this case is soup. As if to ratify and confirm this approach, so that's how the Torah ends the parsha. V'Yakov nasan le'Esav lechem u'nezid adashim. Yaakov gives to Esav more food, more soup, bread, v'yochal v'yesh, v'yochal v'yelach. And he ate some more, and he drank some more, and he got up and left. V'yivez Esav et ha-bechorah. And he still scorned the bechorah. Why? Because one should not think that Esav was somehow misled or bamboozled or intimidated into selling his bechorah under the threat of death. He was afraid of dying of hunger, coming back from the field famished. No. Once he had food in him, once he was satiated, lechem, mizir agoshim, vayochal vayesh, he ate more, he drank more, his stomach was full, his heart was full, he still despised the Bechorah. Why? Because the framework of the Bechorah was one which meant nothing to him. You shouldn't think that Esav sold the Bechorah on a whim. No. Esav on the whim. Because by Yivez Esav et HaBechorah, he was the same person while he was famished and after he was satiated. Exactly the same Hashkafas Olam, Esav remains the person of the moment. The matters of eternity mean nothing. This distinction that exists between Esav and Yaakov, of course, we're familiar with from before, because that's the very nature of the distinction that exists in the womb. By his throat, it's all been in the kirbah, which Eric took up last year. That the children, while Rifka was present, the children, by his throat, they agitated within her. They were struggling, wrestling one with the other. The Rashi says, what was the nature of the turmoil? So Rifka was told, and two nations, what's the nature of the struggle? So Rashi says, Al-Kochacha Nikra Zomer Darshani, the Pasuk is demanding that we darshan it, the nature of this struggle. Shistam Mai Ritzita Zo. Rabbi Sena Darshu Lassan Ritzo. Shishio Zeres Al-Pishchei Torah. So same day that Yaakov brought them the Sarachai's law says, when they passed the Beit Medrash, the Yaakov tried to jump out. They passed the Beit HaVadizoro, Esav tried to jump out. Dovar Acher, Nisrotim Zeh and Zeh, Umarizim, Enachah, Shnei Olamos. They're quarreling with each other over the disposition of two worlds. Who is suited to Olam HaZeh, and who is suited to Olam HaBah? And that really is the nature. Yaakov really is the creature of Olam HaBa. And that's the nature of the Ishtom Yosef Olam. That person, it's not as if we can renounce this world, you have to drink also, you have to support yourself, but this world does not hold the same allure as does the world of the soul. The pleasure that a person has in basking in the presence of the Shechina once one's been perfected in life. Because this life is a temporary life. Eternal life is what beckons, but a person has to see that. So the Merivin Benachla Shnei Olamos, Esav really wanted this world. Yaakov wanted the next world. The problem is that the person who wants this world can never really have this world fully. And the one who wants both worlds loses out on both worlds. The quest for Olam Haba is a singular one. Involves, if anything, just losing some of the aspects of this world to help obtain the next world. But to think you can have both worlds fully, the pleasures of Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba, will act like dancing at two weddings, which I did yesterday at Napa. You can't be in two places at one time. The Medrash says in Bamidbar Rabbah, we always think to ourselves, well, why not? Why can't we really have this world and the next world? You do have it, by the way. The Gemara says, if you work from the labor, you consume the labor of your own hands, Ashrecha v'tovlo. So Ashrecha bo anazeh, v'tovlo chom abo. So you're fortunate in this world, and it's good to you in the next. So really, there's a concept you could have both worlds. But you can't have both worlds fully. That's the issue. Ashrecha v'tovlo is only a person who recognizes what this world has to offer contains of the next world. And then it's Ashrecha v'tovlo. But in of itself, can't be. So, the Medrash says in Bamidbar Rabbah, it's Parsha Chof Aleph, Simon Chof, on the Pasuk of the Korban Tumah, Tishmeru L'Tirvli B'Moado. You'll preserve it carefully. Each day, the Korban Tumah is offered in its time, morning and afternoon. Zeh Shomer HaKosuv, Tzadik, the Pasuk in Mishlei, Tzadik Ocheil, L'Sova Nafsho. The Tzadik consumes L'Sova Nafsho, to the satiation of the soul. Ze Eliezer Shem Rivka Hagmiini Ma'at Mayim. So Eliezer said to Rivka last week, said, Joe, give me a little water. A little water, Ma'at Mayim. That's what I need. What's the end of the pasuk? Tzadik Ochel L'sova Nafsho. The Tzadik consumes and satiates himself. Uveten Rishon Techsar. The stomach of the wicked, that's always deficient. Ze'esov, Sha'omar Le'Yakov, this is Esov, who said to Yaakov, Halitaini no, not Hagmi'ini, pour from your pitcher a little into a cup, but Halitaini, pour into me. Omar Yitzchak Bar Zera, Esov Fa'atiz Kigamo, Esov opened his mouth wide, like a camel. Omar, Eftachti Vatam Machnis, I'll open my mouth, and you just pour it in. That's how Esov looks at the world. So why do we say bet in your film Tachzor? We had enough. We had enough. Vayoka Vayofa Vayefa Yokam Vayewa. The Medrash continues the story. Maisa the Goyecho Chizimen Kobaneiro, the chase of the nuns who invited everyone to a banquet. The banquet, the mother of all banquets, the feast to end all feasts. Umri Abidostai, Osi Zimen Osa Suda in Kobaneiro. He invited me, as this guy said, with everyone else in the town. And his table lacked nothing of all the delicacies available in the world. Everything was there. Three smorgasbord covered three ballrooms, except for one thing. Ela egoze perasbogad. He could not get a certain type of nut. A certain type of nut he could not get. All right. Sure enough, what happened? One of the guests said to him, I would like some egoza tera. The man was so distraught, me'asa, notala shatavlo, me'lefanenu shaytayofa, kishay shitrei kesef. He took the silver tray, which was worth 6 shitrei kesef, the sofra, and he snatched it. A marty law, I mean, he overturned the tables with everything that was there. End of party. A marty law, misname our pizza. Why did you do this? It's a nice party. No dozer tariff, no dozer tariff. Someone's got a takeout order later on at home. Oh my lee, a tem omen lee, shalom azesh shalonu, olam abos shalochem. You tell me that this world is for us, and the next world is for you. In Ein Anu Ochlim Achshav, Ein Mosrei Anu Ochlim. If we're not going to be able to consume everything now, so when will we be able to consume? That's the story. What's the point of the story? Olam Hazeh, there's always something lacking. There's always something missing. And when that something missing becomes noticeable, then the sense of deficiency cannot be cured. people notice everything can be perfect except for one thing. And people notice the one thing that is not. And it bothers them, the aggravation, the agmatinethas that cause is mind-boggling, but extensive. I've seen this. I don't get there anybody here. Anybody in the zero, anytime. But you know, sometimes you go to a simcha and everything is beautiful. But the hostess will notice the flower arrangement is not what she wanted. It's not set up a certain way, there's a certain plant that's missing, right? That is Natalasat Pavla Vishvara. I was once at such an affair where the mother of the Tala was literally in tears because the nature of the flower arrangement around the chuppah was not what she had ordered. That is the emphasis on Olam Hazeh, which leaves a person a chassid. That's better than some tachta. Something is missing, something is deficient. Because perfection of the physical in this world, one can never attain. And it's not limited to the flowers that letters, by the way. It's in every area of life. What I heard from my Rebbe once referred to as the kwalos of Adam Arishon, the coach of Dardar, Tatsmiyachwa. Whatever you want, you can have the most beautiful garden, right? There can be some weeds there too. And if that sounds to bother you, then you're just on the wrong track entirely. Everything in life, everything in the physical world has coach of Dardar, thorns and thistles. Your beautiful new car will eventually get a scratch, or God forbid worse. And then it doesn't look as new anymore, and then a person can shake and shudder, because what seems to be perfect in Olam Hazeh is no longer perfect in Olam Hazeh. And that's the problem. There's a mentality that exists in the Ish Harega, that if I can't have everything, then I really have nothing. And that is the mentality of an Eshav. And that's Hineo Nafil Echlamus, the Loma Zali Bechoro, if I can't have everything, then I really have nothing. And nothing will bring me joy. And that was Esau's mentality, which led him into the philosophy of life, which accomplishes nothing in the long term. Nothing. Question is, of course, that, I mean, do we partake of that philosophy? Of the Yisra Rega, the Yisra Netzach. I mean, we like to think of ourselves as people of Netzach, right? We're Torah Jews. In Chayen or Rechameinu, we're involved in pursuit of Torah and Mitzvot, which protect our soul and lead us to eternal life. Absolutely true. Chol Yisrael Yesh Mechel Mabah, we all have a share in the world to come. And yet, we do live occasionally, perhaps more than occasionally, in the world of the Rega as well. And the question is, why don't we see it then? I mean, why? Why? Just to take that one shape, which has happened, by the way, not just with flowers, but table arrangements, a certain item on the menu is there, it's not there, it's not cooked the way it's supposed to be cooked, whatever it is, the color scheme, it's always something. So why, I mean, it's obvious to all of us, you're all looking at me and saying, no, that's something that can't happen. All right, saying, well, it happens all the time. And now the question is, why? We know better. So why don't we live with this cheshbon, with this calculation? There's never so quoted a pasuk in Yisrael, we read one of our Torahs towards the end of the year. Kinei achoshech yichase eretz, barachel umim. Darkness covers the earth. Alright? How does darkness affect man? Darkness affects man in one of two ways. Either he sees nothing, or what he sees is distorted. He'll see a statue and he'll think it's a person. A person will think it's a statue. Either it's just not visible, or it's so unclear that it's distorted. We can't see properly. And that, in fact, becomes the measure of our life. I just happened to be going through this the other day, this Sefer Or Yisrael, the Geret HaMusar of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. He says something which is so obvious, like all of Musar, but it's not obvious since he actually see it in writing, and then it makes an impression. He says, man is created, very beginning of Yigas HaMusar, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, man is created to be free in his imagination and bound by his intellect. But his unbridled imagination draws him mischievously in the way of his heart's desire without fear of the certain future. the time when Hashem will examine all his affairs. What's he saying? Man's imagination draws us to fulfill our titles, fulfill our desires, even if they're illicit. What's the strategy of the Yetzirah? Always. What's the Yetzirah strategy? To subvert man through the power of our imagination. See, we have an intellect which absorbs ideas, and we have an imagination which enables us to be creative, and imagination is a good thing. But imagination can also be a very harmful thing, in the sense that it takes reality and we imagine that it is something other than what it is. What happens here? We know God is going to judge us. That's a statement. Hashem will examine all of our affairs. We know there's a Yom HaDin, but the Yetzirah's stratagem, his tactic, is to to have our imagination overwhelm this awareness. And that's how the Yetzirah operates. We may know intellectually that God will judge all of our deeds, but yet our imagination overwhelms us, and we stop thinking about it, and at the moment of fate, the reality of God's presence and His Torah simply does not exist. Let's take a simple example that we're all prone to. Why does a person speak Lashon Hara? Rechilus? Knowing that it's Lashon Hara, knowing it's Rechilus, knowing that it's Asur. Because at the moment of the act, our imagination, whether it's in the form of popularity with others, or just arrogance, or an obliviousness of God's presence, overwhelms us and transcends our recognition that what we're doing is wrong, and therefore we're able to continue. Put another way, and this is a thought triggered when I started Heavensoul's comments, which is reminding me of what Rabbi Tosalanta wrote. Put another way, at the moment of sin, the Ish HaNetzach becomes the Ish HaRega. The person of eternity becomes the person of the moment. And it's the gratification of the moment which overwhelms the person and says, I need this now, I want this now, and the consequences of HaNetzach are insignificant. And that's how fate happens. In terms of? Oh, in terms of the brachas. Well, I don't know if that's what he was doing. It's a separate Indian. We took this up 3 years ago. He was very following what his mother was doing. She was very uncomfortable with it. But I think, as we understood, it was really a ploy. Not really to open Yitzchak's eyes to what was happening. More than simply to extort from him something which wasn't Yaakov. So that's one realm, when the Ish HaNetzach becomes the Ish HaRega. Is the reverse possible? Can the Ish HaRega become the Ish HaNetzach? That's possible too. And it's on that Sedra that the Torah Medrash makes a beautiful point, a powerful point, that there's something we should think about as well. So it is that case of the brachos to Yaakov and Esav. The Torah says, let's not go to the Pasuk inside, Perek Chav Zayin, Pasuk Chav Chav. Vayomer Elov Yitzchak, Aziv. So Esav finally comes, and Yitzchak says to him, Yaakov comes, in place of Esav, and Yitzchak says, Yishono Ushkoli Bini, come forward and kiss me, my son. He approached and kissed him, and he smelled the fragrance of his garment, and he blessed him. Vayomer, Yitzchak said, Re'e reach b'ni k'reach sodeh asher b'echo Hashem. Look, see, the fragrance of my son is like the fragrance of the field that God blessed. Rashi says, Chazal say, that when Yaakov entered, Yitzchak had a sense of Gan Eden, of the perfection of the world. And that he knew something was different. But it's very interesting. The Midrash darshens that phrase, Vayorach es reach bigadov vayvarcheyu, that he smelled the fragrance of his clothing, as if bigadov should be read bogdov, the fragrance of his traders. and the Medrash Darshan, that even the traitors of Kol Yisrael are worthy of a bracha. How so? The Medrash tells us two stories on this part. Kigon Yosef Mishito V'yokum Yisrael. What's the story of Yosef Mishito? The Medrash says that when the enemy came, the Romans came and wanted to enter the Har Bayis, so they knew that the Hazar HaKorah Yumos, that a non-Jew enters the Har Bayis, Chayav Miso. Omru, they said, Yikones Mehem Uvahem Tchila. Let them go first. Let's find a Jew who go first. Who's going to go? So they announced, anyone who goes, whatever he takes out, is going to be his. Whatever treasure the Beis HaMikdash he removes will belong to this individual. Yosef Mishito came forward. He was a he wasn't from Yosef Mishito. He was a Hellenist. So he came forward and he walked out with the menorah shofar, the golden menorah, very valuable piece. Amu lo, they said to him, "Ein darko so hevyo l'shtamesh b'zo." A commoner like yourself has no use for the menorah. All right, Yosef Mishito, whatever he was, apparently he knew value. So if he was going to risk his life, he would come out with something that was worth it. They said to him, they basically cheated him. And they said, no, we weren't talking about the valuable. We'll take something else, something smaller. The menorah is not fitting you. Uzman Tinyonis. Go again, go a second time. Umagat Mafik Digoch. And whatever you'll take, that'll be yours. The Lokita Lolov, he didn't accept it. Amar Pinchas said, they gave him, they offered him 3 years worth of tax receipts, the Loki bill, he didn't accept. This person was a Hellenist. Amar, why? He said, Lo dayi sheikh asti lelokai pamachas. It's not enough that I angered my God one time. El achisenu panchniyo. I should anger him a second time. Melsula, what do they do to him? They attached him to two donkeys, plowing donkeys. They tied his hands and pulled him apart. And as his body was being pulled apart limb from limb, he cried out and said, "Vai, oi, oi, shechasti labori. Woe to me that I angered my Creator." Where does that Hafada come from? See, this guy, just 10 minutes before, he had no qualms about entering the Beis HaMikdash and stealing, looting the menorah. And now, what happened to him? So the answer is, what happened to him? He saw the difference between Rega and Netzach, the difference between Emes and Sheker. A person who confronts Sheker, he realizes how pathetic and how evil and how harmful it is to man. And that type of realization can arise in a person even in a moment. Yesh kona olomo b'shachas. That's the story of Yosef Mishito. And the Medrash says an even another story, more famous story, even more troubling story, about Yochum Yisroros. Yochum Yisroros was one of the was also a Hellenist. The nephew, though, of Yossi ben Yoezer is Tredor, one of the Zugos. The first parak of Avos, the Zugos are mentioned. Yossi ben Yoezer, Yossi ben Yochanan, Yisraelim, Yossi ben Yoezer is Tredor. So he was, Yossi a base, I don't remember, but he was one of the Doa Hador, Yossi ben Yoezer. His nephew, Yochim Yisroros, was a renegade, a Hellenist. So Yossi ben Yoezer was sentenced to death by the Syrian Greeks, and he's taken out to be executed on Shabbos. As he's taken out to be executed, his nephew, Yochum Yisroros, was riding a horse on Shabbos, saw what happened to his uncle, and he said to his uncle, "How could this be? Here you are who you are, Yossi ben Yoezer, Yisroros, the great, one of the earliest of our Tanoim, and he's been led out to death, and look at me. I'm honored by the rulers, the Hellenists. I have everything I want. How could it be?"
Marlowe, so yet his uncle said to Yossi Ben Yoezer, because more famous than even his Maimur Nova, he said, in Kachle Mach Iso, Kal Vachomer, Lo Ose Ritzono. If this happens to people who've angered God, Allah has come to come, what's going to happen to people who do God's will? Or Marlowe, also, Odom Ritzono Yosin Neto. Has anybody ever done God's will more than you? Or Marlowe, in Kachla Ose Ritzono. This is what happens. My execution. The people who do God's will call the Homer with Mafuso. What's going to happen to those like you who angered God in a moment? Yichnas Bo Hadrova to Eres to Achno. Those final words of his uncle entered him like the poison of a snake. Holach v'kim v'asma adu Mises Basin. So he went fulfilled upon himself the four Mises Basin. Eventually died as well. And as the end of the story goes, Omar, Yossi ben Yoezer was killed. Ro mitoso, tocha bavir, he saw the coffin, so to speak, of his nephew floating in the atmosphere. Omar, he saw kala kidomani zela gan eden. In a moment, this person deceived me to Gan Eden. What's the moment? That's the moment in both cases of Yosef Mishito and Yochum Explorer. That's the moment. Both those people, Yochum Explorer and Yosef Mishito, when the Yitzharega suddenly becomes the Yitzhanecha. The person of the moment realizes the futility of the moment and the grandeur of eternity. And they begin to partake of a different world. That is the two typologies of Esau and Yaakov. But Nebuchadnezzar ends with a very famous story, a story that I heard myself years ago, that just one of these stories that makes you think. There was a leading communist, an aide to Lenin, whose name was Gregory... Gregory Zinoviev. Gregory Zinoviev was one of the leaders of the Bolshevik Revolution, one of Lenin's top assistants, and while Lenin was the head of the Soviet Union, he became the head of the Communist International. He had a very powerful position. As is well known, Lenin wanted to get rid of Stalin, because he saw Stalin as a nutcase, as insane, as a ruthless tyrant, who would eventually destroy communism. That's basically what happened. But he tried to get rid of him, and he said, upon my death, you'll have to banish Stalin, so it can't happen. Zinoviev, who was a Jew, by the way, Zinoviev was very close to Stalin, and he warned Stalin of Lenin's plans, and so Stalin was able to defeat the coup attempt, and he consolidated his position over the course of a year, and he became the absolute ruler of the Soviet Union for the next 30 years. Almost, 1923 to 1953, 30 years. Killing in the process maybe 50, 60 million people in those 30 years. But Stalin also had a talent, as many despots have, of trusting no one, including those closest to him. In 1935, he had Gregory Zinoviev arrested and incarcerated. This Jew who had saved him, one of the leading supporters. And Zinoviev was such a fabrenta communist that he did not believe that Stalin did this to him. He thought it was counter-revolutionaries who did it, anti-Stalinists, capitalists, worldwide Jewry, whatever it is, anyone but his good friend Stalin. And he would write to Stalin constantly, no answer. And he thought that it was a conspiracy against Stalin, only he could stop it. He had all these ideas in mind. He was in prison for several years, and then he was also brought up to be executed. And the moment before execution, the executioner said to him, by the way, everything that's happened to you since 1935, it's all from Stalin. He was so shaken, Zinoviev, that his last words, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. His last words. Imagine seeing the falsehood of one's life before one's eyes, at the very last moment. That is the Shokalo to the Mani Zevagan agent. That literally Joseph Mishito and Yochum Itzroros a recognition of the world of truth and falsehood. There are moments in life where the falsehood is falsehood. The veil is removed from a person's eyes, and everything is clear. And that really is what Joy referenced before of Yitzchak. But Yechai Yitzchak Charodah Gedolad Meod, Yitzchak was terrified. Because the whole plan of Vayev Yitzchak as Esav decided to serve, to draw him in, he saw was a failure. And once the scales are removed, and all falsehood is dismissed, and truth asserts itself, so that's a shining light that just eradicates the chosach that previously was mechasa emet. So now you see the two personalities of Yaakov and Esav, and more than that. Now at the very beginning, Yaakov seems to do nothing. He's Ishtom Yosef Olam. And yet, Yaakov lives on. Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. We're the one who mentioned Yaakov. But the great celebrity of his day, Esav, the fighter, the hunter, the chieftain, that person is gone. That person is forgotten, except for those who study the Torah of Yaakov. Rav Yitzchak and Yaakov. We're the ones who keep Esav, who is Yodea Tzai, Yitzchak Der, the great, powerful, international figure. We're the ones who keep him alive. And our parameters, the way Torah deals with the world, that's always our choice on a daily basis. To partake of the Chaye Netzach, to partake of the Chaye Rega. In the language of Chazal, the Gemara Shabbos, it was critical of one of the Amoraim for davening too much. Davening too much. Saying, and not learning Torah. Saying, you're Meniach Chaye Olam, Ba'osek B'Chaye Shah. See the way to this world. Torah! How do you abandon eternal life for the needs of this world? Even Shiva! Allah Hashanah the Kamal, if you say that about Shiva, Hazal said, the Shabbos Daf Yud, if you say that about Shiva, what do you say about all the other inanimate of life? And flowers and place settings and everything else that goes on in our life. The difference between the Chaye Olam and the Chaye Shah. Between Isha Netzach and between Isha Rega. The choice we make in that realm is it really defines us in the short term and in the long term. And defines our souls at the end of Ne'edat Mishana when the great giant that is Baruch Hu looks back and says, in fact, ladies and gentlemen, what did you contribute to my world that has significance in the long term? That's what I'm talking about. I thank you very much. Again, so next week there'll be a finish here, Monday morning, 11 o'clock, as usual, even though it's not on the schedule.